Environment Matters, sponsored by Wuka Period Pants, the reusable menstrual underwear that completely replaces disposables. Find out more at wuka.co.uk and join the revolution.
And a big welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. And a special welcome during Radio Verulam's first ever Sustainable Stories Week, during this, the second week of St Albans Sustainability Festival. Now, we're covering a whole host of sustainable stories across our schedule, all sorts of stories about what you are doing to help the environment, particularly during the festival. And we're including a slot each morning during Kerry Cobb's breakfast show, when you can hear a little story there. Right. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I'm going to be hosting a show featuring your sustainable stories with Extinction Rebellion, David Attenborough's latest programmes and the Climate Crisis Declaration in the UK Parliament. They've brought the environment right into our headlines. But has this left us up for the challenge of saving the planet? Or has it left us feeling helpless in the face of a problem of this size? Now, in this show, you'll hear from all sorts of people about where they get their passion for the environment, what got them started, and what keeps them going, and if and where they find hope for the future. A BBC News presenter and St Albans local, Martine Croxall, is one of my guests, sharing her experiences and exasperations, but also why she thinks that the environmental challenge is one that we can rise to. So do listen to 92.6 FM Radio Verulam tomorrow afternoon, Thursday, at 3 o'clock for your sustainable stories. And expect everything from heartbreaking to heartwarming and plenty in between. And talking about heartbreaking, what do you do if your child is concerned, anxious about the environment, about something like climate change, something that's so big and so overwhelming, particularly somebody who feels very small and powerless? Well, the Parent Show will be looking at just this issue tomorrow evening. That's Thursday evening at 8 o'clock. And of course, that's great if you can join us live for either of those shows, but they're both available on the Radio Verulam website, on Listen Again, or to take away as a podcast. Remember, that's radioverulam.com. Now, coming up later in this show, we're just over a week away from this year's 30 Days Wild. Frieda Rummenhall from Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust explains how we can all join in. But first, there's still lots of great sustainability festival events to look forward to, and one is entitled Healthy Streets for a Healthy Community. Well, aren't we all up for a healthy community? I'd hope so. I've found out more from Nick Clark of St Albans Cycle Campaign. Nick, thank you for joining me. So St Albans Cycle Campaign have invited Caroline Russell, who's a London Assembly member, to speak at an event that you're calling Healthy Streets. Why have you invited Caroline Russell to come and talk?
Well, as you say, she's a London Assembly member, but she's also the National Transport Spokesperson for the Green Party, and has been driving through initiatives with the Transport for London and the London Assembly to introduce not just healthy streets but a wide range of initiatives. But obviously we're particularly interested in her passion for this healthy streets approach.
Okay, I mean, just from the outsider point of view, I'd say that London seems to have worse traffic problems than we've got here in St Albans. Are there places in London where they've been able to make, you know, positive changes for the better?
Well, some of the documentation that Transport for London have been putting out, I was just scanning through earlier today, Ealing, Southwark, Lambeth, Haringey, Lewisham, all examples where they have taken some of these initiatives and actually put them into practice. So it's obviously a huge challenge to do it across a whole city, yeah. But at local level, it is being implemented and it is working.
And I suppose also because London does have, you know, it's such a big place with so many different little centres to it, there's plenty of places where these things can be put into practice, aren't there?
Yes.
So you spoke about measures. What kind of things will Caroline be talking about? What kind of measures will she be advocating?
Well, the Healthy Streets approach was developed by a public health professional called Lucy Saunders, and she has 10 key indicators for what makes a healthy street. 10 fairly easy to understand indicators of why people would like to be in a street as opposed to away from it. For example, easy to cross, shade and shelter, not too noisy, people feel safe. That there's some very almost simplistic ideas that actually provide good metrics about what a place is like to be in. Is it okay to cycle and walk here, or would you rather be somewhere else?
Okay, so this isn't just about cycling then, is it? This is a much broader conversation.
Yes, I mean, the vision is to give priority to walking, cycling and public transport, basically.
Okay.
So cycling is a part, but only one part.
Now, I just read the blurb that's written on your little flyer here, mm-hmm. and it promises that economically vibrant places, sociable places. I mean, sociable. How do you make a street sociable?
Well, to some extent, it's a matter of saying streets are for people, not just for cars. So it may involve reclaiming some of the parking spaces, some of the even the traffic lanes, so that there is space for seats, for trees, for cafes to spill out onto the pavement, so that it's not just a place that you travel through. A street is somewhere where you actually want to be, where you actually want to carry on your life.
Yeah, well, I suppose that makes sense, doesn't it? It does sound lovely. And how about economically vibrant? I mean, the town centre shop owners, they're always up in arms when parking charges go up and it's, you know, sort of discouraging car use. Could they really benefit from changes to road layout that makes it better for, as you say, for pedestrians and cyclists?
Well, yes, there's this fear that if people can't park immediately outside the shop they want to go to, they won't come. Whereas, in fact, of course, providing public transport, secure bike parking, means that more people can get into shops more readily. And there are very clear economic demonstrations that actually make people easily able to get into shops, and they're more likely to come more often if they can just pop on their bike or just jump on the bus than if it's the struggle of getting a car in, finding a parking place. There are clear economic benefits from this, even though we acknowledge that the instinct of many shop owners and businesses is that cars come first, whereas actually what we say is, no, it's not cars, it's people.
OK, so that's scientifically backed up there, but a little bit counterintuitive. So your meeting is next Wednesday, 29th of May, 7:30 at Marlborough Road Methodist Church. Who should come along?
Well, obviously people who care about our streets and our environment. If you have a particular interest in cycling, that's great, but it's not just for cyclists, it's for people who want streets and cities to be better places to be and to live.
That sounds like it could pretty much cover all of us, couldn't it? Nick Clark, thank you very much indeed for
joining
me.
My pleasure. Thanks ever so much.
There we go. And I was talking to Nick Clark from St Albans Cycle Campaign. And I genuinely think that sounds like a really good meeting. I think that we could really do with some inspiration on how to sort out transport in St Albans and, as you say, make our streets really healthy, vibrant places to be. So that's next Wednesday. And if you have to miss Environment Matters, don't worry, you can always catch up on Listen Again or on podcast. Okay, excellent. Okay, so it's nearly June again, and with that comes the Wildlife Trust's 30 Days Wild, where we're invited to do an act of wildness every day. I spoke to Frieda Rummenhol to find out what that actually means. Frieda, thank you for joining me. So what kind of thing might we do to join in 30 Days Wild? I mean, give us some examples of the, you know, the kind of wild things that we might do each day.
Well, it might be anything, really. You could just take a walk in the park. You could build a pond, bug hotel, have a wild picnic, listen to some bird song. We don't want to set any rules. We just want to give some inspiration of what to do. So for inspiration, you could follow our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, take part in our hashtag Wild Wednesday Challenge, which we're launching this year for 30 Days Wild. And for the Big Wild Weekend, which takes part in middle of June, that is the second weekend, I think, we are hosting the Chess Valley Challenge, which is a 10-mile sponsored walk from Rickmansworth to Chesham through the beautiful Chess Valley, which also passes through our recently extended Frogmore Meadows Nature Reserve.
Okay, so there's plenty of ideas about things that you might be able to do. I mean, is there a difficulty if, I mean, say, for example, I work in an office, I don't have a garden and I don't have lots of time to get out into the countryside. That's going to make it a bit hard for me to join in, isn't it?
Well, it doesn't really matter how much time you spend on 30 Days Wild. It is meant for everyone and anyone, really. So we've launched these random acts of wildness. So it can be whatever you're comfortable with. It can be however much time you want to spend on it. It's for individuals, families, businesses and schools. So it's all about finding and making room for nature and wildlife in your life and about finding your wild side. There's no point in forcing yourself to go out for an hour every day if you don't want to keep it up.
Yeah, okay. So it's just whatever you can fit in.
Yeah.
It might be, I don't know, as you say, perhaps just sitting on a park bench at lunchtime watching the pigeons or something. Is a little bit there for everybody, isn't there?
Yeah.
Is there anything particularly aimed at kids? Any particular ways that they can get involved?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, I mean, nature is so good for children, but we tend to forget it. It does boost their problem-solving skills, social-emotional skills. They help in their confidence. But our children, this generation, is growing up indoors. It's spending more and more time indoors. We kind of need to get this next generation outside a bit more to make them fall in love with nature so that they can act for nature, they can help nature recover. We've got loads of stuff in the 30 Days Wild free packs for them to encourage them with random acts of wildness. We've got fun stickers, we've got wildflower seeds that they can sow, and it's also for schools, so the whole school can take part in it. We've got special packs for these.
Okay, I mean, that sounds lots of fun. And actually, lots of kids, really, once they get outside, they really do enjoy it, don't they?
They do it, yeah.
Yeah, so we just, as you say, we just need to make the effort to give them those opportunities more often. I mean, it does sound, you know, like the kind of thing that's going to be lots of fun to do with kids. But, you know, how about for adults? Why would we join in with it?
Well, the benefits I was mentioning earlier, they are not only for the kids. Nature is evidently good for your health, for your mental health. It reduces your stress levels. It makes you happier. It relaxes you. But we as well are spending more times indoors and we're kind of losing the connection to nature and wildlife. So 30 Days Wild is there to help us reconnect with nature.
Yeah, so it sounds like a bit of an extension of the whole sort of mindfulness thing.
Yes.
Just finding space for just a little bit of stillness in a natural place, looking at what we're seeing there, perhaps.
Yeah, just stand there in a forest, close your eyes, and listen to the bird song, smell the smells of the forest.
Yes,
all these sort of things. It's just like finding yourself and finding your inner calm and peace.
That's right, using all your senses as well. Yeah, that does sound very nice indeed. So there's definitely something in it for the kids. There's definitely something in it for us. What does the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust hope to achieve?
So, I mean, ultimately, we do want people to reconnect with nature. We want people to feel better, feel healthier and appreciate wildlife so that we can work together to ensure a wilder future, to help wildlife. This year, we want 30 Days Wild to be bigger and better than ever. So we want a record number of registrations and sign-ups. So we want everyone to take part. We want everyone to feel the benefits of wildlife and nature.
Okay, well, that sounds like a great ambition. So how do we get started?
Oh, just it's easy. You can sign up online. Just search for 30 Days Wild on Google or go to our website, heartswildlifetrust.org.uk. Sign up online. It's completely free. You will receive a great pack full of wild goodies with a war chart and inspiration what to do.
Jolly good. Well, I can't wait. Looking forward to taking part myself.
Let's get started then.
Frieda, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to Frieda Rummenhoff of the Hearts of Middlesex Wildlife Trust. And as I say, I'll be taking part in 30 Days Wild. So do check out what I'm up to on my Twitter account at RV_environment. And Frieda's also challenged me to join her in taking the Wild Wednesday challenges. Now, I'm really not certain what I'm going to be challenged to, but, well, I'll be sharing that too. So perhaps you could join in with some challenges. Feeling a bit nervous about that. I hope there's nothing too wild and messy, but. But, well, anyway, there we go. I've said I'll do it. Up for the challenge now. Now, remember, there's still time to sign the petition that Sustainable St Albans have launched on the St Albans District Council website, asking them to declare a climate emergency. So just like there was a climate emergency declared in the UK Parliament, they're asking for that in our local council as well. Now, as I say, you can sign online on the District Council website, or if you go to a Sustainable St Albans event, you'll find cards there that you can sign, which will form part of the petition. There's also time to take part in the Eco Eds Challenge, which is part of the Sustainability Festival. It's an easy to find app for your phone that allows you to join the citywide challenge. Now, it'll cost you nothing, but it teaches you lots and it's fun to do. And I spoke to Caroline Karlstrom, who is one of the people who has created this app. I spoke to her on the Parent Show a couple of weeks ago, so do check that out. It's a really interesting idea, and I think we could learn a lot from that. And I also think that we could really feed into the process of the kind of things that we need to get up to around St Albans to really improve our environmental sustainability. Now, I'm going to be back at the same time next week when we'll get the latest on slug pellets. Ooh, it's exciting. Until then, thank you for listening.
Environment Matters, sponsored by Wooka Period Pants, the reusable menstrual underwear that completely replaces disposables. Find out more at wooka.co.uk and join the revolution.